If you grew up in church, and I know many of you did, you probably were taught to believe in Jesus around the same time you were taught to believe in Santa Claus. Probably happened around the same time, and my guess is you weren't really provided with evidence for why you should believe in either. Nobody had to persuade you to believe in Santa. Nobody had to persuade you to believe in Jesus. You were 3 years old, and your parents told you to believe. So as a three-year-old, you naturally just believed. You didn't have to be convinced. There was no evidence. You just believed. And my guess is, for most of you, as you grew up, you stopped believing in Santa. And if you didn't, this is about to get really awkward for you. But you probably stopped believing in Santa. And the reason you stopped believing in Santa is because there just wasn't any evidence for it. The idea of a big fat guy with a white beard flying around on reindeer, sneaking into your house on Christmas Eve, and putting Christmas presents under your tree, there just wasn't really a whole lot of evidence to support that. Once you became 8 or 9 years old, you're like, hey, I just don't really believe that. You realize that the cookie crumbs and the empty glass of milk, it wasn't Santa, it was your mom and dad, and they had been lying to you for years. So you stopped believing in Santa, and Santa just became something that was fun, that you celebrated at Christmas. But my guess is this, is that although you stopped believing in Santa, you probably didn't stop believing in Jesus. Your parents told you, hey, Santa's not real, but they, you know, probably said, hey, Jesus is real. You should believe in Jesus. But once again, you probably weren't given any evidence, or you weren't persuaded as to why you should believe in Jesus. You just believed in Jesus because your parents told you to, or they said because the Bible says so, or because your Sunday school teacher tells you to. You weren't really persuaded to believe, you just believed because you were a kid. And for many students who grow up in church, and maybe this is your story, there really isn't a whole lot of evidence behind your belief in Jesus. There really aren't a whole lot of facts that support your belief. You weren't talked into believing, you just believed because it was the thing to do. And when you're a kid, when you're in elementary school, that's really not an issue. Believing because your parents believe, or believing because the pastor believes or your grandma believes, that's not a bad reason to believe when you're a kid. But the issue is that you grow up. You grow up and you start to face adult questions. You start to face adult problems. And for many students, what happens is they grow up, but their faith never does. They have this childhood faith that they've grown up with, and it never matures, and they take this childhood faith into their teenage years and into their adult years. And this childhood faith that many of us grew up with, it starts to face real questions, real challenges, and real opposition. And because our faith has never grown, because we don't really know why we believe what we believe, oftentimes that childhood faith begins to crumble under the weight of these questions, under the weight of these objections that people have. And believing just because your parents tell you to, or believing just because your whole family believes, that's not a good enough reason for you anymore. And rightly so. And you want to begin to find evidence for why you believe what you believe. You want to know the reason for why you believe. And here's kind of the big idea for tonight's message. If you were never talked into believing, it's very easy for you to be talked out of believing. If you were never persuaded to believe in Jesus, if there was never evidence given to you for why you should believe, if you weren't talked into it, it's going to be very easy for you to be talked out of it. And we see this with students all the time. Students who grow up in church, they go through children's ministry, they go through student ministry, they love Jesus, they're committed to Jesus, and then they go off to college, and they have some friends they meet who believe very differently than they do. They have a professor who starts to poke holes in their faith system. They start to attack the Bible or attack their beliefs and certain things, and their childhood faith that they've had with them for years, that has never grown, that's never matured, it begins to crumble. It begins to fall apart under the weight of all these adult questions and adult objections. And their faith is kind of this massive house of cards. And when one card goes, it all just falls down. And you see many students within just a few months of college, they walk away from the faith they've had for years. They abandon it because they just feel like there's no evidence for their belief anymore. And I believe that they walk away unnecessarily. They didn't really have to leave. You know, there was a day in history where no one believed in Jesus. A day in history where there was not a single Jesus follower. Nobody believed in him. In fact, the people who had believed in Jesus, the people who had followed him, walked away from him. They gave up their belief in him, just like many students walk away from Jesus and walk away from their belief in him. This day in history took place on something that we call Good Friday. And that is actually this Friday. We are celebrating, all Christians around the world, we celebrate Good Friday. And the reason we call it Good Friday is because it is the day in history where Jesus died on the cross. He took on our penalty for our sin. We call it Good Friday because although it was a painful thing for Jesus, it brought salvation to us if you are a Jesus follower. But the thing is, to Jesus's original followers, those original disciples, those guys who believed in him, Good Friday was anything but good for them. Because for them, Good Friday was the day that their friend and their leader died. And on that day when Jesus died, their faith, their belief in Jesus died as well. They gave up their belief in Jesus. They walked away from believing in Jesus when they saw him die on the cross. You see, while Jesus was here on earth during his 30 years here on earth, Jesus made some very bold claims about himself. Some of the things that Jesus said about himself, they're very shocking. They're very bold if you consider them. Jesus told his disciples, hey, if you've seen me, if you've looked at me, you have seen God. If you've looked at me, you have seen God. Jesus made the claim that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and nobody can come to God except through me. Jesus said, hey, I'm the only way you can ever know God. Jesus also made the claim, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. Jesus said, hey, I am God. If you've seen me, you've seen God. And if you put your trust in me, if you put your belief in me, even if you die, you shall live forever. I mean, those are some pretty bold claims to make. If we knew somebody who was making these kinds of claims today, we would think they were crazy. We wouldn't believe them. But here's the thing. Jesus's earliest followers, they believed him and they believed these claims that he made. But they didn't believe just because. They weren't just hoping these things were true. The reason that they believed these things was because of the evidence that they saw. They saw Jesus walk on water. They saw Jesus feed 5,000 people. They saw Jesus heal the sick. They saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. So they weren't believing just because Jesus told them to believe. They were believing because of the evidence in front of them. They were convinced that, hey, he's making these claims, and we're going to believe these claims because of the evidence. But when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, when they saw Jesus breathe his final breath, when they saw Jesus die, all of this evidence that had supported his claims no longer mattered. Because if Jesus really was God, how could he die? How could God be murdered? How could this guy who says, I'm the resurrection, I am life, how could he be killed? And on that day when Jesus died, their belief in Jesus died as well. I mean, think about it. When Jesus eventually rose from the dead, none of the disciples are standing outside the tomb expecting him to walk out. None of them are counting down. 3, 2, 1, Jesus is here. None of them are expecting Jesus to come back. For them, it was game over. Jesus was dead. Jesus wasn't coming back to life. And on that day, nobody believed in Jesus. And maybe that's where you find yourself tonight. You are not a believer in Jesus. You don't feel like there's enough evidence to support belief in Jesus, and you are skeptical, you've got questions, and you don't believe in Jesus. Or maybe you are considering unbelieving in Jesus. You've grown up in church. You've heard the stories. You've believed for a number of years. And now you are starting to face some questions and some struggles. And you're not so sure if you want to believe anymore. You're not sure if there's enough evidence. Or maybe you're in here and you would say, yes, I do believe in Jesus. But if somebody were to ask you, hey, why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you consider yourself a Christian? You wouldn't really be able to answer them. You don't really know why you believe other than the fact that your parents have told you to believe. You believe because your parents are Christians or your family, you guys are Christians. And I don't want you to come across difficult questions, difficult situations in the future and feel like there isn't any evidence for your belief. You know, some of the questions that Christians struggle with, especially when they go off to college, are, you know, how do I make sense of the creation account in Genesis and the evolution I'm being taught in school? How do I reconcile these things? You know, how do I know which one is true? How do I make sense of this? You know, were Adam and Eve actually real people? You know, do I really believe that the entire population on our planet came from just two people? You know, how do I really know that the Bible is reliable? How do I know I can really trust in it and believe the things that are in the Bible? How do I know that God is good when there's so much evil in the world? How can I believe in a God who would allow so much suffering? You see, you face these difficult questions. And what happens, Bryce, I'm not going to ask you again. What happens when these students go to college, they face these difficult questions. And when they feel like there's just no evidence, they end up walking away from faith. And here's the thing. I believe that there are answers to all those questions, all those objections that people may have. I believe that there are answers to those. And if you have questions and you're wondering things about faith, I would love to sit down with you and to walk through some of those difficult questions you have. There's great resources out there. But the reality is on a typical Wednesday night, we're not able to cover all those objections. We can't cover all those questions that you may have. But my goal for tonight is this. I want to provide a kind of a framework and a foundation for belief in Jesus. A framework and a foundation for belief in Jesus. So when you face these difficult questions, when you come across things where people are challenging your belief and you're having a hard time believing, I want you to know that there is a firm foundation for your belief in Jesus. There is real evidence for your belief. And you believe not because you're hoping it's true. You believe because of evidence. So it's got 5 parts. These are going to be on the screen. I would encourage you to take notes because I think these things are really helpful. These aren't things that I've come up with, but things that I've read and heard. So the first thing is this. Number one, the first thing that we establish is that God exists. We establish that God exists. I think all of us can agree when you look around that there is something. There is something. There are people. There is a planet. There is a solar system. There's a universe. We can all agree that there is something around us. And the question is, can something come from nothing? Can something come from nothing? Could the universe have come from nothing? Now, there are a lot of smart people out there who have written books, some of which I've read. There's lectures out there where they try to argue that something has come from nothing. That the universe as we know it, that at one point in time, there was literally nothing, and then one day the universe was. You know, they say it's the Big Bang, but even if there is a Big Bang, where did the things necessary for the Big Bang come from? They say there was nothing, and then one day there was something. And I think if we're being intellectually honest, and many people in our world aren't, but if we're gonna be intellectually honest, we would agree that something cannot come from nothing. That for our universe to be in existence, there had to have been something that was outside of time, that was outside of space, that had eternally existed. Now, we don't know if it was the God of the Bible. We don't know if it's a personal God, but there was some supernatural entity, some supernatural force that has always existed and caused the universe to come into existence. So I think most people you talk to can kind of find common ground on that God exists. Or if you don't call it God, that something outside of nature, outside of time and space exists. So number one, God exists. Number two, if God exists, miracles are possible. If God exists, if something supernatural exists, therefore miracles are possible. And here's what a miracle is. It's something that occurs outside of the natural laws of nature. A miracle is anything that occurs outside the natural laws of nature, anything that cannot be explained by science. And if there is something that exists supernaturally, the logical conclusion would be that supernatural acts, miracles, are possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility to believe that if there is a God, miracles are possible. In fact, the fact that we have laws of nature had to have come from something supernatural. The fact that we have laws of nature in itself is a miracle because a supernatural act occurred to cause our laws of nature. So God exists, and if God exists, miracles are possible. So that's kind of the foundation. The third part is this, is that the New Testament documents are reliable. The New Testament documents are reliable. How do we know anything from history? How do we know anything? How do we know that Abraham Lincoln was one of our presidents? How do we know that Columbus came to the New World? How do we know there was a Roman Empire? None of us saw Abraham Lincoln. None of us saw Columbus. There aren't any pictures. There's no video evidence. The reason we know anything from history is because of historical documents that have documented these people, these events, these places. That's how we know anything from history. And in our New Testament, in your Bible, in the New Testament, there are 27 historical documents written by 9 different authors. 27 historical documents written by 9 different authors. And here's the thing. We don't believe that the New Testament documents are reliable because they are in the Bible. We don't believe they're reliable because they're in the Bible. The fact that they are in the Bible does not make them true. Them being true, them being reliable, is why they are in the Bible. Their reliability led to their inclusion in the Bible. They weren't included in the Bible and therefore became reliable. They were reliable first. In fact, the Bible as you know it, the Bible that you might have in your lap, the Bible you have on your phone, that Bible as you know it with the Old Testament and the New Testament did not come into existence until 300 years after the New Testament was written. The Bible as you know it did not come into existence until 300 years after the New Testament was written. But during those 300 years, these New Testament documents were believed to be reliable and believed to be true before they were in the Bible. So we don't believe them just because they're in the Bible. They're in the Bible because they are true and reliable. So I'm going to give you a few reasons why we can trust these New Testament documents, why we can believe that they are reliable. The first one is this, is because the New Testament writers wrote as if they were recording history. They weren't writing as if they were writing the next great American novel. They weren't writing as if it was some fairy tale, some mystical story. They were writing as if it was literal, actual history. Let me give you an example. In Luke chapter 3, and Luke's document, he records these two verses that show how seriously he took what he was writing. He really believed that he was writing and recording history. In Luke chapter 3, in verse 1, it says this. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, I don't know, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. This is not a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. When Luke is writing this, he's saying it occurred in this year and this place. These historical people were involved. He's writing as if it is literal history. And there are extra biblical documents, meaning documents that aren't included in the Bible, that most scholars consider reliable, that confirm the details that Luke is writing. So when people say, hey, you know, the New Testament is just a fairy tale, people just making stuff up. If you are trying to make something up, you do not include this much detail. So we believe they're reliable because the writers wrote as if they were recording history. We believe they're reliable because of when the New Testament documents were written. Every single book that you have in the New Testament, every single one of those documents was written within 40 years after the resurrection of Jesus. They were all written within 40 years. If the resurrection, if all the stories of Jesus were just some kind of legend, some kind of lie that people were making up, you cannot create that big of a lie, that big of a legend, while eyewitnesses are still alive. While these documents are being written, people who knew Jesus and people who saw Jesus were still alive. So if they were lying, if they were making up some story, these people who knew Jesus and saw Jesus die would have said, this is not true. They're lying. This didn't really happen. But when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, one of the things he says is, hey, there were over 500 people who saw Jesus come back to life. And he says, hey, most of them are still alive. Don't take my word for what I'm saying. Go talk to these actual people who saw Jesus. These documents that we have were written within 40 years after the event of the resurrection. And most historical documents, non-biblical documents, if they're written within 100 years after an event, scholars would say those are credible. Scholars would say, hey, we can believe those. But for something to be written within 40 years of the event, that's incredibly accurate. Scholars would say that that is reliable. And the last thing is this, we can believe they're reliable because of the number of documents that we have. There are over 5,000 copies of the original New Testament documents, over 5,000 copies. The New Testament is the most documented and copied piece of literature in the history of the world. The most documented and copied piece of literature ever. And the Bibles that you have today, the New Testament that you have today, is 99% accurate to the originals. We have the original, not the original, we have the manuscripts, and they have 99% confidence. They are 99% similar. And none of the things that are different are really serious issues. The only things that are different is they put a comma here, or they add another the, or they use a parenthesis here. They're nothing that makes a real difference. The documents that you have today in the New Testament are exactly what was written over 2,000 years ago. So God exists. Miracles are possible. We can trust the documents in the New Testament. And then number four, this is the most important. The New Testament documents, they provide evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. They provide evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. You see, the New Testament documents, all of them, they center upon this one miracle that occurred in history. They all center around the resurrection. And if a God exists, and therefore miracles are possible, and we can trust that the New Testament documents are reliable, then we can believe that the miracle that they record, the resurrection, we can believe it is reliable as well. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation for our faith. The reason we have faith as Christians is because of the resurrection. In fact, without the resurrection, there is no reason for faith. There is no reason for any of our belief without the resurrection. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. He says this, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." And then listen what Paul says last. He says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Paul says, if the resurrection isn't true, if the resurrection didn't really happen, he says, our faith is a joke. We should be pitied by people. People should feel bad for us for believing if the resurrection didn't really occur. But the New Testament authors, these people who recorded history, were so confident that the resurrection actually occurred. So confident that it changed everything for them. It changed the direction of their life. These guys who stopped believing in Jesus, these guys who abandoned their hope in him, when they saw him come back to life, it changed everything for them. Which leads us to the last part of this foundation, which is this. If Jesus really rose from the dead, everything he said is true. If Jesus actually came back to life, then we should believe everything that he said. One of my favorite pastors says this: if somebody can predict their own death and resurrection, and then they actually pull it off, you should believe whatever they say. You should just go with whatever they say. I mean, imagine that. Imagine somebody telling you, hey, I'm going to die in a few weeks, and 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life, and they actually did that. You would probably listen to them on anything after that. You would want lottery numbers from them. You would want to know who's going to win the Super Bowl. You would believe somebody and trust somebody who predicted their own death and resurrection. And when Jesus pulled off his own resurrection, it gave credibility to everything that he said. The reason I believe the Old Testament is true is not because it's included in our Bible. The reason I believe the Old Testament is true is because Jesus believed the Old Testament was true. He believed the Old Testament was reliable. And if Jesus predicted his death and resurrection and pulled it off, I'm going to believe what he says about the resurrection. The reason I believe that Jesus is the only way to have eternal life is because Jesus said he is the only way to have eternal life. And because of his resurrection, it gives credibility to what he says. Listen, we aren't called to just believe, to just hope something is true, to just have blind faith. We are called to believe in a literal historical event, the resurrection that occurred 2,000 years ago, an event that changed everything for everyone forever. Listen to what John says in his document. He says this. He said that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Listen to what he says. But these are written. These signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John's not saying, hey, I don't want you to just have this blind faith. I don't want you to believe just because I've told you to believe. He says, I want you to believe because of these signs that I've recorded. I want you to believe because I've recorded history. I've recorded about this event that changed my life and that can change your life as well. So if you're in here and you would say, you know what, I do believe in Jesus, I want you to know that there is real evidence for your belief. And that when you face questions that are difficult, when you have people challenge your faith, when you have people oppose your faith, you might not know all the answers to their questions. There might be things that you're confused about. But I want you to know that there is a real firm foundation for your belief in Jesus. We're not just closing our eyes, blowing out the candles, keeping our fingers crossed and hoping it's true. We believe because of the evidence. And if you're in here tonight and you would say, you know what, I'm not sure I believe, or I'm considering not believing anymore, I just want to challenge you to do this, to be intellectually honest with yourself and really evaluate the evidence. Really see if what these New Testament writers in their documents said is true. Because if Jesus really did come back to life, it changes everything. It's game on. Everything that he said, we have to take seriously. This Sunday, millions of people around the world are going to gather together to celebrate the resurrection, to celebrate an event in history that changed everything. And the resurrection, that event that occurred, it has the potential to change everything for you if you will choose to believe. And if that's something you're considering, if there's questions that you have, I would love to have that conversation with you tonight. I would love to sit down with you, kind of hear the struggles you have, hear why you're struggling to believe. But would you really consider the evidence? Would you really think about whether or not the resurrection is true? Because if it is, it changes everything for everyone forever. Let's pray together. God, as we just get ready for Good Friday and Easter coming up, Lord, we just thank you for those events that occurred, those events that changed our life, that changed our eternity. And we thank you for taking our place on the cross. And for a day in history that seemed like all hope was lost, looking back, we can call it Good Friday. Because on that day, you paid the penalty for our sin. You made salvation possible. And God, we thank you that your story didn't end there, that you didn't stay in the grave. But that 3 days later, you conquered death, you conquered the grave, and you came back to life. And because of that, we have hope. And by believing in you, we can have eternal life. So God, I pray for students in here who consider themselves believers, but maybe they don't really know why they believe what they believe. God, I pray that they would know that there is a firm foundation for their faith. That when they face difficult questions and opposition to their faith, they can know that their faith has real evidence. But God, for those students who are struggling to believe, who aren't so sure about you, who aren't sure about the Bible and faith and Jesus, God, I pray that they would just be honest with themselves. That they would look at the evidence that you've given us. And Lord, that they would talk with somebody tonight, that they would have that conversation. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.